The beginning of this fall, the next, including this week, 5 weeks, so 4 weeks, and called Steps to Freedom. In February, I was able to get away for a personal retreat and just prayed about some of the things God would like us to learn. Where are some things in my life and our life that God would like to speak about? And it was this whole idea of freedom and prayer. And so that's where we're focused this fall. When we're done with this series, we'll be going into a series on prayer. So here's my big intro to Steps to Freedom. Ashley Madison. Wow. Has that ever blown the lid off of secret sin and veiled morality? Especially with a number of prominent Christian men like Josh Duggar out here. And so what we really have to ask ourselves is, how do we respond to something else? What's our response? If you follow on social media, some people think it's no big deal. Others are erecting crosses and putting names at the top of those to punish and crucify these men who've been caught doing heinous things that are have the potential to ruin their whole family. Relevant magazine wrote an article called "What Can We Learn from the Ashley Madison Scandal?" And here's three points from that. When I read it, I thought, boy, that's exactly how I'm thinking. There's more points, but here's three of the points that are there. First of all, Christians are not immune to sin of any kind. I'll never forget sitting in a men's conference, and there was a seminar just for men, and we're all pastors in there, and a well-known Christian counselor was talking about his time working with sex offenders. And when he went in, he said, you know, look down on these guys, and you know, because I can't imagine how they could do these terrible things. And through the course of that, God softened his heart and helped him see that the pathway down to what we would consider grievous sin is very slow, and that no man or woman is above any sin. Any man can end up where the Ashley Madison guys are, any of us, no matter who you are, because it's a slow ride down. An unchecked sexual sin or unchecked sin of any kind, the kind that we often overlook, or the smaller things, they do eventually lead to that. And that stuck with me. It woke me up a whole lot, because we have a choice, and we need to learn to have victory now in the small things so that they don't become great things. And we need to learn how to rescue and be gracious to those who are caught, those who are there anyway, because none of us are above that. Second thing is, church needs to stop giving out Band-Aids and start giving out life support. We don't often think of freedom and battles and victory very much anymore in terms of our spiritual life. In fact, as a Canadian, I hate war-type, you know, analogies in the Bible. And if you listen to some sermons in the States, America is always talking about the war and all this stuff. It's just, as a Canadian, I don't tick that way. But in that, sometimes I forget that, you know what, that's the illustration. That's the language the Bible uses. We're not in prison. We're to be free. We're in a battle. We're in a war. We don't need motivational talks, right? We need hard truth. We need to learn to put on God's armor. We need to fight a victorious battle. That's what we need. Each one of us has sin to take ownership of. Everybody has sin. All sin leads to death and the consequences of reaping the curse of sin. All of it. Any sin. All sin. All of us have some sin we need to take ownership of. And so when we look at someone like Josh Duggar, we think, oh man, I'm glad I'm not that guy. That guy, what a mess. And the more that gets unveiled in his life, you're like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, that's terrible. And we can treat him as a scapegoat to make ourselves feel better. But the reality is, we're just as bad. We're just as bad. If you are living by the flesh instead of living by the Spirit, your sin is no worse, no better. We're the same. Now, as believers, as Christians, we have a new nature, and we're in the process of sanctification. That just means getting our attitudes, our behavior, our character in line with the new nature and freedom we already have. But many of us are not there, and we will never be perfected. And if you don't have complete victory over an area of your life, that's what this fall is about. And it will be a process, and you won't gain victory over everything, and you will stumble and you will fall. But there's a difference. Listen, There's a difference between struggling with sin and being enslaved to it. And as believers, we do not need to be enslaved at all. So we're in the process of being perfected. We're having our attitudes, our behavior, our character get in line with our new nature. We long for freedom. We don't want to be in prison. But that's what sin does. It imprisons us. Many of us, because we walk by flesh instead of the Spirit, live our lives in a paper prison. You know, the walls are paper thin, but we kind of live like they're 2-foot-thick steel. We're trapped. We can't fix this behavior, this thought pattern, this belief system. We can't be transformed. And the reality is we can, and Jesus has already done the work for us. Romans 8 says something opposite to the world. The world will say, if you follow Jesus, you're going to get enslaved and limited because there's all sorts of stuff you can't do. And Romans 8 says, no. Before you come to Christ, you're a slave to sin, and you will always be a slave to sin before Jesus. But when you come to Jesus, you are a son, you're a daughter, you're an heir, you're set free. A slave has certain rights and privileges, but is limited. But when you are a son or daughter, you are set free. It's a process. It's an ongoing battle. How does the world tell us to fight against things that we think are wrong or things we think we need to overcome? Because there are people like working out and fitness and things like that. There are people who are hardcore at that and they seem to do well and seem to have everything together. But then you look at something like Ashley Madison and you realize behind the veneer, there's always something there. There's a song by Rachel Platten that just came out. It's really an anthem for a lot of people right now called Fight Song. Here's the chorus. This is my fight song, take back my life song, prove I'm all right song, my power's turned on. Starting right now, I'll be strong, I'll play my fight song, and I don't really care if nobody else believes because I've still got a lot of fight left in me. Sounds really good, right? Here's the problem. None of us is that strong all the time. It's a great anthem. Really feels good when you're down and you kind of pull yourself up by the bootstraps, but you will fail and you will be weak and you will fall at some point. You just will. We don't have the capacity in and of ourselves to live perfectly and on top and victorious all the time. But Jesus does. Ashton Kutcher said this because he's such a wise guy, you know. If Google decided at any point to publish my search history or your search history or anyone's search history, there's a litany of things they could idea police you about. And if it was published, you would be publicly shamed. Everyone would be publicly shamed. But we trust Google, and we trust the people that run that company. Here's the reality. Even though we're free, many Christians live a little bit like this. Have a look.
Oh, these hands are tired. Oh, this heart is tired. Oh, this soul is tired. I'll keep on.
Faith is something I'm not accustomed to. I'm trusting other people, something I don't really love to do. I've never been a fan of it. I act tough, but really my shoulders, they ain't built for this, and I don't have nothing. It's like I'm standing in the rain, and you offer me a raincoat, but I would rather stand and wring it wet than take the hand out. What's wrong with me? You said you've always got your hands out, and I cannot continue on my own, so take my hands now. I give you everything, God, not just a little bit. Take it from me. I am nothing but a hypocrite. I hate sin, but I built a house and I still live in it. Afraid to open up the door till you let you into it. My soul is lost and what it needs is your direction. I know I've told you I do not need your protection, but I lied to you. This thing is tiring and man was not created for it. God, please retire me now.
Oh, these hands are tired. Oh, this heart is tired. Oh, this soul is tired. But I'll keep on, I'll keep on, I'll keep on. I'll keep on, I'll keep on, I'll keep on.
It trust is something I am not accustomed to. And I know the Bible says that I should always trust in you, but I will never read that book enough. And when I have a question, I don't take the time to look it up or pick it up. It collects dust on my nightstand. I'm just being honest, please take this out of my hands. I have no control, I am just a person. But thank the Lord that I serve a God that's perfect. I do not deserve the opportunity you've given me. I never knew what freedom was until I learned what prison means. I am not ashamed, I don't care if they remember me. My life will always have a hole if you are not the centerpiece. Take me out of bondage, take all of my pride. If I don't have a savior, I don't have nothing inside. Take all of my lust, take all of my lies. There's no better feeling than when I look in the sky in your eyes, it's amazing.
Oh, these hands are tied.
That's a great way of looking at some of the seasons of our life. Sometimes we feel like that. We're just keeping on and we can't control things and we feel tired and worn. But what if that wasn't the way that you need to stay? What if that wasn't the definition of your life day in and day out as you follow Jesus? Because I don't believe it has to be. Jesus said this, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." John 8:36. So many followers of Jesus forget that following him means we're adopted into his freedom and his life. He's done the work. Here's what Jesus says to you and to me if we feel like we're in prison. Or if we feel like the majority of our life is spent following the desires of our flesh instead of the desires of our spirit, walking by the flesh instead of walking by the spirit. Revelation 3, if you've been in church at any time or been to a Billy Graham crusade, you have heard these verses, but maybe not the whole context. "I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. I wish you were on fire for me, just followed me with all your heart, or just pack it up and walk away. Because you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold. I'll spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing.' And you don't realize that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that's been purified by fire. Then you'll be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you'll not be shamed by your nakedness. And ointment for your eyes, so you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your," what? "Indifference." It's a key word. "Look," I love this version that says this, "look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. We'll share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne." If you know verse 20, standing at the door and knock, I'm going to guess that many of us don't know that that was written to Christians. It's not an evangelism verse at all. It's written to Christians who've become blind, wretched, naked, and indifferent. Yeah, you kind of move between these two extremes of feeling guilty that you're not close enough to God and just forgetting that you feel guilty so you don't feel so bad. And you hear sermons about, you know, getting your life straightened out with God or getting right with God. And I want to tell you that that's not the perspective we're going. I don't think you need to get your life right with God. You are right with God. But how you're living and how you're thinking is not free. And I want to help you take some steps towards freedom. What if there was a better way instead of being stale and careless? What if Jesus is really offering us, as this passage says, spiritual riches instead of poverty? How many of us just, like, our Christian lives just are terrible? Pardon the phrase, it just sucks sometimes. It's terrible. I don't touch my Bible. I don't pray. And oftentimes it's cast on you. You don't pray enough. You don't do enough. And that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. So I want to help you with steps towards freedom this fall. Freedom from your bondage and your sin, because you're already free. What if Jesus actually was offering you pure garments for your sin and shame? A lot of people feel shame about how they are before God. And that's just not how God sees you. What if God actually offers ointment for your spiritual blindness so that you can see and think and believe correctly instead of being deceived, pushed aside by every wind of teaching. What if this was an actual reality? What if there's a better way? The gospel of behavior management, or I'll pick up my bootstraps, I'll be strong, this is my fight song, I'll put some biblical principles into practice, maybe if I read my Bible a bit more, maybe if I pray, God will be pleased enough with me and things will get straightened out. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. It never has. It's not what Jesus taught. You need to be free. And over the next 4 weeks, we want to look at that. That you have a spiritual problem. That's what it is. It's a spiritual problem. What is confession? What is sin? What is repentance? What is freedom? How do you enter into that? And how do you fight? Because there is a fight, but it's not battled the way we often wage war. And throughout this whole season, if you need to talk or pray or get something off your chest or just need some place private, talk to me or one of our elders. We would love to lift you up in prayer, meet with you, help you up and out and on. Because we are free. And what I want to present to you is the reality that you can walk that way. That's what Jesus has given you. And so I want to encourage you, come. And when you can't come, listen. And don't just come and listen or go online and watch the videos. Apply it. Let's see what God might do through us. If some of us who are feeling this way can get past our shame and our guilt, and actually receive the help we need. And you know how that comes? Often it's through humility. When we're able to confess to one another, when we're able to get some help, and when we're able to pray for one another and be honest about our struggles and be honest, because Jesus doesn't look down on you. He knows them already, and he's taken care of them already. And it's time to take the veneer off. It's time to take the shades off. And before an Ashley Madison whistle is blown on you, you blow it yourself. And you do it appropriately and with the right people. And you get help. And you go to Jesus. And you begin to walk a pathway towards freedom. That sound good? It sounds good to me. So what I want to do this morning is, that's it. We're done. I want you to stand. I'm going to pray over you if you're able to. Stick around, we'll have some of the snacks and coffee, visit with one another, pick up your kids, find out some information at the kiosk, talk to those you need to talk to. But thank you so much for coming this morning. It's a bit different morning, there's a lot of stuff going on, but man, this fall, I'm very excited about what God desires to do in our life. Father, thanks so much that you have set us free through your Son. Those who are set free are free indeed, but many of us don't walk that way. Father, many of us are tired and worn out and weary, and it just doesn't need to be that way. Sometimes we'll have seasons and we'll struggle, but may the mainstay of our life following you be one of